95 years ago, on August 16, 1920, the Cleveland Indians were playing the Yankees in a late afternoon game at the Polo Grounds in New York. The Indians were locked in a tight pennant race with the Yankees, who'd acquired Babe Ruth in the offseason from the Red Sox, and with the Chicago White Sox, who were playing under a cloud of suspicion after a controversial loss in the 1919 World Series. The pitcher for the Yankees on that gloomy Monday afternoon was Carl Mays, who had a nasty reputation for throwing at batters. Trailing 3-0 to the Indians in the top of the fifth inning, a frustrated Mays faced the Indian shortstop Ray Chapman and was about to deliver what writer Mike Sewell would later describe as the pitch that killed. Just 6 months earlier, Ray Chapman had boarded a train in Carbondale after visiting his relatives in nearby Heron. As he waved goodbye and headed to the Indian spring training camp in New Orleans, he'd already decided that this would be his last season in baseball. Only 29 years old and still in his prime, Chapman had promised his wife Kathleen that he would end his career as a ballplayer to work for her father, a Cleveland oil millionaire. But Chapman wanted to play one last season to help his close friend Tris Speaker, the player manager of the Indians, win a world championship. He also wanted to fulfill his own dream of playing in a World Series. By the 1920 season, Ray Chapman, called the Boy Wonder when he made his debut with the Indians in 1912, had become one of baseball's best shortstops and one of the most likable players in the game. His wedding to a Cleveland socialite just 3 weeks after the 1919 World Series was celebrated in Cleveland newspapers as the romance of the baseball diamond. As Mays wound up to deliver his first pitch in the top of the fifth, Chapman, who normally crowded the plate, leaned forward to bunt the ball for a base hit. When Mays saw Chapman shift his stance, he threw high and inside to back Chapman off the plate. As Chapman stood frozen in the batter's box, the pitch sailed directly at his head and hit him in the left temple with a sickening thump. After striking Chapman's head, the ball rolled back to Mays, who, thinking it had hit Chapman's bat, picked up the ball and threw it to first base to retire the hitter. As Chapman crumbled to the ground in agonizing pain, home plate umpire Tommy Connolly, seeing Chapman's distress, turned to the crowd and yelled, "Is there a doctor in the stands?" After the beating, a half-conscious Chapman was rushed to the hospital by ambulance, where doctors discovered he had a depressed fracture of the skull. Despite emergency surgery to relieve the pressure on the brain, Chapman worsened during the night and died at 4:40 a.m. on August 17, 1920. Chapman's death was devastating for his close friend Tris Speaker, but the Indians, inspired by the loss, went on to win the American League pennant and the 1920 World Series against the Brooklyn Dodgers. After the beating, Carl Mays was vilified by baseball, including by the hated Ty Cobb. When his career was over, he was blackballed from election to the Hall of Fame, despite winning 207 games in his controversial career. Chapman's wife, Kathleen, who was pregnant at the time of her husband's death, never recovered from her loss. Several years later, at the age of 34, she committed suicide by poisoning herself. A year later, the Chapman's daughter, Margaret, died of complications from measles. During his playing career, when Ray Chapman returned to his hometown of Heron, he was treated like a hero and on one occasion was appointed honorary sidewalk inspector. When asked at the ceremony for his plans after baseball, Chapman jokingly answered, "Guess I'll be mayor of Heron when I grow up and retire from baseball." While Chapman never had the chance to grow up, baseball's boy wonder remains a hometown hero in Heron and a favorite son in a city rich in baseball tradition. This is Pete Peterson for Reading Baseball.